Hello and thank you so much for joining me on the show today. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Undefeated, and I'm your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome back once again to the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. And that's what we're all about, trying to make you or help you feel good. Not only feel good, but actually to be good, be well within yourself. Because sometimes you can actually feel good, but actually there's something underlying which ain't that good. So we're really trying to help you to live life healthfully. If you haven't heard any of the other shows, do check out some of the other shows, okay? Don't just stick to the Diabetes Show. We've got Maureen Sullivan's show, which is has a touch of diabetes within it, which is always worthwhile listening to. And there's loads of other different shows. There's many, many things that you can probably relate to there. So do check them out. We're going to be talking today with a nutritionist, and she's going to be talking to us about some ways that you can help yourself to improve your health, improve your blood sugars, improve your diabetes. Before that, we're going to do the usual thing and trawl through some of the news that's been out there in the past week. And we're going to set off, first of all, with some items that I found on diabetes.co.uk's website. And the first article that I came across is a top pediatric endocrinology expert has issued top tips for parents of children who have type 1 diabetes amid the COVID problems. Of course, kids are back going back to school. My kids go back to school this week on Wednesday and Thursday. Many kids are already back at school, as evidenced by my journey to work the last couple of days, which has been horrendous. All the families dropping off their kids, and I guess there's a lot more people in cars anyway because not wanting to use public transport. It has taken me twice as long to get to work this week as it did last week, which is, not good, especially when I hadn't really planned for it to take that long. I knew it would take a bit longer, but not quite that long. Anyway, getting back to this article, it's about a Dr. Michael Yaffe, Associate Professor at McGovern Medical School, University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston. And he said something which I guess we are all aware of, really, that the severe impact of COVID-19, how badly it affects people, is likely to depend largely on how well controlled their diabetes is. And that goes for anyone, really, type 1 or type 2. If your control isn't good, it can weaken the immune system and therefore increase the risk of complications. So Dr. Yaffe has given some advice to parents to help protect their children from COVID-19. And the advice is as follows. Most of it you'll probably be aware of, but it's bringing it all together that's important. Children should keep washing their hands thoroughly and properly, I would add to that. Avoid touching their face. Avoid unnecessary large gatherings and practice social distancing. Frequently clean commonly used areas around the house. I don't know whether it's the children doing it or the adults doing it. Hopefully it's a bit of a mixture. Train those kids to keep the place clean. Maintain a record of a child's blood glucose levels and have extra supplies on hand in case of emergencies. So hypo stuff and medication as well. Ensure children have a healthy diet and exercise regularly. So hopefully if we can all get our kids doing that, we'll be able to protect them from this virus. As Dr. Yaffe is saying there, with kids with diabetes, it is important that we do that. There are loads more articles on the website there about COVID-19 in some way or another, because it is so very, very important for people with diabetes to understand their risks and understand what they can do to help them. So I would really encourage you to have a look at that website, check it out and see what there is, what's going on, the latest news, latest evidence regarding the virus and regarding its interaction with us as people with diabetes. Now, I want to share the next item because it's just a real heartwarming one, a really, really smart little kid here. This is a five-year-old little boy, and his quick thinking helped him save his mum. Okay, so his mum, who's 41, slipped into a diabetic coma. The little boy, Josh Chapman from Telford in Shropshire, was forced to take action, finding his mum lying unconscious. I think she actually blacked out whilst playing with him. He'd never called the emergency services before, and you know, a five-year-old, you know, what can you expect? Well, this smart little kid, he spotted that on the side of a toy ambulance he'd been playing with, there's an emergency number. It's actually the European emergency number, 112, on the side of his toy ambulance. So he called it. And he was connected, therefore, to the police, because when you dial that number here in the UK, you still get the same result as dialing 999. I don't know how many of you knew that. So anyway, he got connected to the police. The police were able to sort out getting the paramedics around. She woke up surrounded by paramedics and a lot of toys. And they explained to her exactly what had happened, that Josh had called and that he'd been able to give the address. And wow, that is pretty incredible. I think that's a real heartwarming story, very encouraging. But it does actually highlight that we should probably be, you know, if you've got diabetes and it is a diabetes where you could end up in a coma, yeah, particularly if you're on insulin, for example, then I would be strongly suggesting that you do have an emergency plan there in your pocket, but also on your wall somewhere, in your kitchen or somewhere, that, and you tell and talk to your kids about what to do in an emergency. Talk to your partner about what to do in emergency. But you know, kids can do a lot more than we give them credit for. But you know, even if it's just the very basics, if in doubt, phone this number and get help. And you know, maybe just some note down what to say. It would be really, really, it can save your life, yeah, as this little boy Josh did for his mum. A couple of other items aren't COVID-related as such. The diabetes.co.uk's low-carb program, 12-week challenge, starts this week. I think you can actually join it at any point, but they have live talks, live meetings on a Sunday morning, I believe, so you can hopefully fit that in around you're going to church. There are other things that you can link up on as well. I haven't actually joined it yet, although I am planning on following what's going on there. But go to diabetes.co.uk's website and have a look at what that is all about. The 12-week challenge starting this week. It actually started on Monday the 7th. This show goes out on Wednesday the 9th, but I'm sure you can hop on a couple of days late. So please do check it out and see what it's all about. The next item I want to just draw attention, in fact, it's the last item I want to draw attention to because we haven't got much time this week, but that is regarding the flu vaccine, and there's really a likelihood to be a real stress on the NHS if we over here in the UK don't take up the offer of this free flu vaccine if we have got underlying chronic health conditions. The government is planning to double the amount of people who can receive it. However, newly published data has shown that 45% of people in England with serious health conditions under 65 took up the offer of a free vaccine. That means that 55% didn't, which is not good. I personally have been having it for a number of years now. I've never had a very bad flu bout, which is good. Prior to that, I used to get quite a lot of heavy colds. Don't know whether it's just coincidence or whether I have been protected, but it's certainly not doing any harm. And I think this year we owe it to the NHS. You know, there we are all shouting their praises for what they've done for us amid the pandemic. They're going to be busy enough as it is. And if they get the flu, another flu pandemic on top of the coronavirus, is not going to be good. So please do consider getting that done. See your GP about getting that vaccine done. I think you can even get it done in pharmacies as well, so check that out. Okie dokes, well, it's time for a song before we get our guest for the week on. Our guest chose this first song, and it's by an artist called Harry Styles, and the song is called Watermelon Sugar. I hope you enjoy listening to it. And afterwards, we'll get our guest on, Alice Yeats, who is a nutritional therapist. It's like strawberries on a summer evening, and it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know if I could ever go without. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high, watermelon sugar high. Strawberries on a summer evening, baby, you're the end of June. I want your belly and that summer feeling, getting washed away in you. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar. It sounds just like a song. I want your belly and that summer feeling. I don't know if I could ever go without. Watermelon sugar. So that was Harry Styles and Watermelon Sugar. You're listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. And thank you so much, Alice, for joining me today. It's Alice Yeats, who is a nutritional therapist. And that was your choice of song, Alice. So please tell the listeners why you chose that one.
Well, the choice of song, I didn't actually know about this song until I was introduced by a radio DJ with this song, and I think it's quite appropriate for diabetes, really. Both the fruit and the sugar being in there, and that's why I chose it.
Okay, well, maybe we'll come back and talk about that a little bit in more detail in a minute. Now, you're not just a nutritional therapist, you've got a history of being a diabetic nurse specialist or diabetes nurse specialist.
Yeah, so I trained as a nurse in the 80s and then worked with diabetes for 3 or 4 years, culminating in working as a diabetic specialist nurse.
Okay.
And then I got ill about 10 years ago myself, didn't respond to medication and had to try to find a way, really, or wanted to find a way of getting myself better, and that's what took me down the nutrition path. And then I went on to do naturopathy, which basically means that I can use a few other things. I've got more strings to my bow than nutrition.
Okay. How big a part of your work do you think plays diabetes? Is it sort of a huge part of it? There's obviously lots of it.
It's what I'm really passionate about. Hormones are my bag, really. And blood sugar control is really important for all hormonal conditions. And I think, therefore, diabetes becomes as part of that umbrella. But my real mission is to try and reduce the reduce the incidence of complications. So things like diabetic feet and eyesight and kidneys, which I saw a lot when I was nursing in the 80s. And really, if you can control your blood sugar, then they're avoidable.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely on the same page with you on that one. Okay, so you touched on hormones there. Do you want to just talk a little bit about hormones and how and what role they might have to play with regards to blood sugar control?
Yes, so if you think of insulin as the master hormone, it's the conductor of the orchestra, if you like, and all the hormones work in a very fine-tuned way together. And if one of them slips, then all the others have to readjust themselves to compensate for that slip. So if you have difficult periods, a very stressful job, an unstable blood sugar, so you're producing a lot of insulin, menopausal symptoms, puberty, all those things, and puberty with men as well as with women, all those things change our hormones. Pregnancy is another one. And particularly with women, there's a very strong change in hormones at that point. And we need to be very careful to be trying to keep our blood sugar stable, to keep our insulin stable, in order to ameliorate the symptoms of the other hormonal problems.
Mm. I suppose this is partly will be to do with insulin production and release, but also with actually the use of it as well. So for any people with type 1 that might be listening and thinking, oh, I just inject the insulin, I get it anyway.
It's absolutely to do with the release of insulin into the cell. And the mechanism by which the insulin brings the glucose into the cell. So you have to have insulin in the cell in order to get glucose into the cell. If the entrance for the insulin is stiff or doesn't open properly, which is what technically happens in type 2 diabetes, but a lot of type 1s have it as well, then whatever insulin you put into the body, whether it's injected or from the pancreas, is not going to get through that gate in order to allow the glucose into the cell. So that means that the glucose stays in the bloodstream.
Okay, and that's where insulin resistance comes in.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Do you mind just explaining? I'm sure some of the listeners will be aware, but some won't. What insulin resistance?
Well, that is basically what insulin resistance is. So if you imagine a cell wall, it has a receptor for insulin. I call them gates because it's easier for people to understand, and it has a gate for glucose. And insulin resistance is basically when those gates get stiff. And those gates get stiff through poor diet, through stress, through hormonal changes. And when they get stiff, as I said before, the insulin doesn't get into the cell very readily. And that insulin sets off a mechanism which opens the glucose gate. If the glucose gate is also stiff, you've got less glucose going in. And that the whole thing can build to a point where actually there's very little sugar coming out of the bloodstream into the cells.
Now, I read one of your blogs. I didn't read it all. I looked it up just before this. But my ears picked up straight away because it was one about Roy Taylor's work, which that's how I've reversed mine in the past, doing his approach. And I know he talks very much about the fat that gets built up around the liver and around the pancreas. Could you share with the listeners a little bit about what role that plays in the whole thing as well?
Well, the role it plays for the person themselves who has diabetes is actually, it's really important to be eating the right things in order to be breaking down that fat. So when we build up fat around our organs, we're increasing inflammation and we're reducing the function of the organs, basically. That's a very simplistic way of looking at it. But what we want to be doing is supporting our bodies to get rid of that fat as much as possible. And in order to do that, we need to be eating plenty of protein and eating plenty of vegetables. But also we need to be eating the right fats.
Okay.
So the right fats being things like fish, good quality meat, olive oil, coconut oil, and not the cheap oils bought in the supermarket, which actually you might as well be putting into that fat storage straight away, because those and sugar get deposited as fat very easily.
Right, okay. Yeah, because a lot of people don't realise that the sugar itself gets, or carbohydrate gets converted into to fat as well as the fat that you're eating, yeah.
That's right.
Okay, I noticed again on your site that you mentioned the diabetes specialist nurse and also working with people with thyroid problems as well. And there is, I believe, a link between, and I'm not quite sure myself, a link. I know that when I've been tested for my diabetes in the past, and also they've also tested my thyroid stimulating hormone, I believe, and that has been slightly raised in the past.
Very often go closely together.
Mm.
Whether it's the diabetes that causes the thyroid to struggle, or whether it's the thyroid struggling that causes the diabetes, it probably varies from person to person.
Yeah.
I know that several of my clients have slightly underactive thyroids. They'll be within normal limits very often, according to the NHS parameters. Those parameters are interesting because they're taken over the full lifespan of 18 to 80.
Okay.
So if you're somewhere in the middle, you're probably okay. But if you're not somewhere in the middle, then you might need to be closing the edges a little bit.
Hmm.
So I would look at somebody's thyroid always when they have diabetes. And I very often use thyroid support supplements for people whose thyroids are just not quite where they could be, let's say.
Okay.
And thyroid is such an important factor in all the mechanisms in the body, because it's like our Duracell battery. You know, if we were a Duracell bunny and the Duracell bunny's thyroid wasn't working, it wouldn't be running around.
Mm.
And my thyroid basically packed up on me, so my body was almost stopped. Mm. And it made me realize how important, I mean, I understood the thyroid, but I didn't have the same understanding as I do now.
Mm.
And so I will always, if someone's talking about being tired, as you can see, people are talking about being tired, and, you know, their sparkle's gone.
Yeah.
That's when I would always test their thyroid and their blood sugar, because both those things really cause your energy to deplete.
Okay. Before we move back into blood glucose, then, just you mentioned supplements there. Are there things that, if people are feeling those sort of symptoms, that they could try themselves, or should they definitely go and get tested?
I would suggest they get a test first.
Yeah.
I think a really good diet, like I just suggested, so protein with every meal, including breakfast. Vegetables in 5 fistfuls a day at least, and a really good mixture of vegetables, so different colours, different fibres, in lots of green, and lots of those bright colours of beetroot and red pepper and things like that, and some good quality carbohydrates, so brown rice, new potatoes. Diabetes, you need to watch out with the potatoes, but I think, and I'm very much an advocate of people eating lots of things like squash and sweet potatoes, beetroot and carrots to fill them up, and then having, if they're really, really partial to potatoes, then just having a couple of new potatoes on the plate to satisfy the palate as much as anything else, and a little bit of rice. I think we've got very much into the habit of rice being a large part of the plate, pasta being a large part of the plate. And I'm a real advocate. So people, when they start working with me, we cut the plate into three. And we say only a third of that plate wants to be carbohydrates.
Yeah.
And obviously with diabetes, we work with that slightly differently, but that's still the main starting point. Because otherwise, you know, when you put pasta on a plate, 90% of the plate is pasta, basically.
Yeah, the more you can cut down on the carbohydrate side of things,
exactly,
and replace it with the other things you mentioned there, the better. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how you, mentioned briefly how do you work with people? What exactly do you do? If somebody came to you right now and they said, I've just been diagnosed, I've got diabetes, and I am overweight. How would you work with that particular person?
So to start with, I have a half hour call with everybody for free.
Okay.
To work out whether they're in the right place and whether I'm the right person for them. Mm-hmm. I haven't had anybody find I'm not the right person, actually, but it's still their choice.
When you say the right person, you mean you might identify something, they need to go somewhere else, and also they might just decide they don't get on with you or something.
Exactly. You just I can't
imagine anyone not wanting that.
So if people decide to sign up with me, we work on a 63-day program.
Okay.
63 days is creating a new habit.
Right.
And we do a two-hour initial consultation, and then we do weekly calls.
Okay.
Over the course of the next 8 to 10 weeks, depending on how people's holidays and things fit in. And I will talk to them about their diet in the way that we've talked about already. I have an ebook which has a lot of that information in it. It's very simple. It's been written in such a way that it's easy for people who are not keen on reading.
Right.
And it's talking about good quality fats, vegetables, protein, water, why alcohol is possible but awkward. It's tricky. It's not impossible, but it's just something that people need to be aware of.
Yeah.
And how to drink and how to treat yourself. So, you know, how to look after yourself. And a bit about movement. I prefer to use the word movement rather than exercise because it doesn't frighten people off in the same way that the people who don't do exercise, movement's a better word. So we work for 9 weeks. Now, it will depend on the person as to how we work together, but at the end of our initial consultation, we'll have put together a plan based on the case history and what's going on. That plan is for us to work on over the course of 8 weeks, and it is very definitely changeable. Sometimes we very much stick to it all the way, and sometimes we'll find that doesn't work for somebody and we'll move on and do something different. Over the last 6 months, no more than that now, it's September, 9 months, I've been working with diabetics with a new supplement, which I've had some really good results, and some good results, but not quite so astounding. So the type 2 diabetic come to me at the beginning of January, and he had just had his 6 month check, and he had an HbA1c of 72.
Right.
Now, just for, I think most diabetics will know what the HbA1c is, but it's a long term blood sugar of how the sugar attaches to the hemoglobin, and you measure that. And his had been running along under 50 for about 15 years. My blood sugar, I don't have diabetes, would be under 39. That's the normal level. So his was above normal. So it was on medication. It was keeping it below 50. And suddenly, literally suddenly, he said he was beginning to feel really tired and had lost his sparkle. He didn't use that word. He said he'd lost his energy.
No.
And his blood sugar was 72. So he came to me saying, you know, how do I deal with this? Benefit being he loves food and he's a really good cook. So he was very good at experimenting with new foods and lots of different proteins, using pulses, lots of vegetables. He grows loads in his own garden. So anyway, he started on a new supplement. This was my first client on the supplements, called Curalin, which is a combination of Ayurvedic herbs, 10 Ayurvedic herbs. And they support the mechanisms that I was talking about. They support the pancreatic production of insulin. They support the insulin going into the cell and the glucose going into the cell. And they support the mechanism within the cell that the insulin works on to get the glucose in. And the results were astounding, to be perfectly honest. His blood sugars had been running around the sort of mid-teens, and within a month he was down below 10 constantly. I'm not allowed to advise people to come off their medication, but by the end of the second month he had his blood sugars still constantly under 10, and he'd stopped all his diabetic medication. So that was really interesting to me. 9 months down the line, his blood sugars are running along quite happily, under 10 all the time. He's taking half the amount of the supplement that he was taking at the beginning. He's taking no diabetic medication. He's cycling, walking. I mean, he cycles miles. He walks miles. This isn't just a... He swims. He's gardening like crazy. He's much, much happier in his work. And his whole being has changed. And the interesting thing about him is, over the he is a little bit overweight, and over the course of that 9 months he's only lost half a stone, but he feels so much better because the mechanisms in his body are working properly, and he's not carrying sugar around in his body the whole time. So we've done other things as well as this supplement, but I would say this supplement has really supported his body to metabolize glucose better.
So you meet up with somebody, you give them this package of what they're going to do for 63 days. And one of the things might be, for some people, that you suggest this supplement. You talked about the 63 days being to break habits. What are some of the biggest habits that you find that people find hard to break? And have you got any tips for the listeners?
It's really interesting. So everybody's habits are different. Some people's might not be drinking enough water. Some people might have all the wrong fats, and they're using spreads and not butter. They're using nothing organic. Some people might be eating really cheap meat and fish sources. Some people might be eating very few vegetables. Others might be eating very little protein. Chocolate is another one that we work with, and interestingly, the boss of Hotel Chocolat says dairy milk is a confectionery. Anything above 60% is chocolate. So my suggestion to people is that they wean themselves. They don't cut things out. They add things in. They make sure they're satisfied by the food they're eating, so that they begin not to have the things that are not so good for them. And they know what those things are, and they gradually wean them out, rather than going cold turkey, which actually I think is really, really difficult to do. And most people will find they go back to things. What they need to be doing is building that thing into their life so it becomes a natural everyday habit.
You mentioned the water, drinking water, but other drinks as well. Obviously, I don't want to use brand names, but the red tin.
Oh, yeah.
Red tins.
The brown stuff.
Or for that matter, the bluer coloured tins. For competitors drinking it. The ones which say, you know, got zero sugar in and stuff like that.
There's an interesting topic.
Yeah.
So that mechanism's really interesting, because you put a diet drink in your mouth, the sweeteners tell your body that there's sugar there. So you produce insulin. But actually there is no sugar there. So you're producing extra insulin for no sugar. And so what you're actually doing is you're increasing the possibility of insulin resistance, because you're demanding more and more insulin the whole time, and you're confusing the body's mechanisms. I would say to anybody, if you're going to have sugar, have sugar. Have the real thing and not sweeteners. The only provisos to that are the alcohol sugars such as xylitol. Right. And I would still say stay away from sugar as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
But if you're desperate for sweetening in something, then use xylitol. But I mean, I've been making cakes now for the last couple of years. So since I was ill, I have a real issue with sugar. And I made some chocolate brownies that the recipe had 16 ounces of sugar in. We made them with 4 ounces of sugar and they were absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
So if you're making things, even if you're not diabetic, if you're making things from a recipe, just try halving the sugar to start with. And then maybe reducing it a bit more. If you've made it once and it was good, then reduce it a little bit more. But halving the sugar in any cake recipe is not an issue. And don't worry about the mixture. It makes no difference.
Yeah. And you hear sometimes of people who've got diabetes, maybe the mum's got diabetes, and she'll still make the food for the kids with the same amount of sugar she would have had, but she may not indulge in it herself. No, get them trained on less on what you would be better having, because otherwise they're just on the road to the same journey. If it's time,
I totally agree with you. You know, the minute if you're putting cakes and sweets in all the time, you are constantly demanding insulin, and that's hard work. And over time, that begins to lead to insulin resistance. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, dokes. You've mentioned supplements. You mentioned Curlin. I'm always a bit intrigued about the vitamin D link with diabetes and blood sugar control. Can you enlighten myself and probably the listeners a little bit more on that one?
Or is that a tricky one. I think it might be a separate program, but I think what's really important is that vitamin D is a very important hormone in our system. So it fits. It's not essentially a vitamin. It is now seen to be a hormone.
Right.
And actually, the fact that it's a hormone means that if, as I said right at the beginning, if it's not where it should be, it's knocking the rest of the hormones out of sync. And so actually having a good vitamin D level is not just important for your bones, but it's also important for your metabolism.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have a whole program on that at some point in the future. Okay. Now, I'm imagining that probably the majority of people that you work with are probably with diabetes are probably type 2. Type 1.
Not all of them. Okay. Not all of them.
Good. Yeah. So hopefully you can answer this one. Type 1. Some tips for them maybe if they're struggling with their weight. Because my own personal feeling is that somebody with type 1. Can get into the catch situation where they think, well, I can eat what I want and I can inject the insulin and that will take care of it. But over time, they can develop type 2 tendencies as well with regards to insulin resistance as well. So they have to inject more and then the... what are some tips for their type 1s with weight control and...
To be fair... What I said about type 2s, I believe, follows for type 1s as well, diet-wise. I think it follows for all of us, to be perfectly fair. Good quality fats, good quality meat and fish if you're not vegan or vegetarian, and making sure you have enough protein in the day, getting lots of vegetables into your system, a couple of portions of fruit a day, but not living on fruit like some people do, because that also demands insulin to deal with the sugars. And a lot of people who eat a lot of fruit aren't eating other stuff with it. So that's another aspect, because if you eat protein with sugar, it slows down the release. But I think type 1s, it's very important to be watching their carbohydrate intake. And what I've seen with type 1s that I work with is that I've got a lady who's halved her insulin intake over the course of 6 months. And she's done various things. She's taken some extra supplements and she's looked at how she's eating. I won't say she's altered her diet hugely, but she has altered it. She found it very difficult to alter her diet, but she is now eating protein and she is now eating more vegetables. So, you know, we're winning in that sense. But she's gone from when we first started measuring her insulin intake from 125 units in a week down to 65 units in a week. So, and that's, I believe that's partly to do to what she's eating, but it's also because she's improved the insulin mechanisms and glucose mechanisms that we were talking about.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. That's fantastic. I've only heard any buzzing going on there. And my next client has arrived. It's supposed to come 2 minutes early for the appointment, but obviously he's really keen to see me. So we'll have to be closing shortly. Please, it would be totally wrong of me to not give you the opportunity to let the listeners know how they can contact you. I think what you've been saying has been great. A lot of what you've said, most of what you've said, is exactly spot on with what I believe as well. Perhaps you can let them know how they can get in touch with you. And is your e-book, is that sort of is that something they can buy or they can...
It's free.
Okay.
So my company's called Help Me Healthy Nutrition. And my email is alice@helpmehealthynutrition.com. If you go to my website, helpmehealthynutrition.com, you will find the ebook. And if you email me, I can send it to you. So no problem at all with that. It's just a 12-page download. It's very easy to deal with. I also wanted to mention the benefit of community with diabetes, particularly during COVID. The diabetics are now being allowed out, but a lot of them have been at home for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And Curalin, Cura Life, the company that make Curalin, have a Facebook group called Winning Type 2 Diabetes Together.
Okay.
And that actually is a great support community, and you don't have to be taking Curalin to go on it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of very knowledgeable people on there. Also, there can be little bits of confusion because some people on there are American and some are UK-based, but just to be sure that the numbers are your own country and not a different country. But yeah, Winning Type 2 Diabetes Together. And that's the supplement is available from curalife.com.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for that. We have had somebody on talking about Curalin in the past, actually, a few months ago. So listeners, if you want to go to the back catalogue of my show, you'll hear somebody else talking about it as well, so you get it from two people. Anyway, thank you so much, Alice, for your time today. It's been really great. You're quite local to us as well, so maybe we can get you on the show again at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
To close out, you chose another song for us. Could I ask you just to kindly introduce it for the listeners?
So it came to mind. It's called Sugar Sugar. The words are sugar, sugar, honey, honey. And when I discovered it was by the Archies, I realised that had to be the song because that's what my dog's called.
Okie dokes. Well, thank you again so much for your time today. And we'll leave the listeners to that song. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Sugar. This feeling too, I just can't believe it's true.
sugar.
That was the Archies and Sugar Sugar. You've been listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton, and that is pretty much it for this week. I just want to leave you with the thought that you look after yourself this week. Make sure you consider that flu jab we talked about earlier on. Make sure if you are vulnerable to maybe having hypos or even hypers, that you, your children, the people around you, know what to do. Put something up on the wall, maybe in the kitchen or somewhere, that alerts them to know what to do. That's after that little boy, Josh, helped, age five, helped save his mum by ringing the number on the side of a toy ambulance. Really, really beautiful story. So have a fantastic week. Take good care. Keep in the diabetes sweet spot. And I look forward to speaking with you again next week. And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.